Hello, hello everyone. We are back. We are back. I'm so excited. Oh my goodness, it's been a week already. Can you believe it? We are here. Great day. Welcome to our new prayer call, and Can We Talk with Jules. And I am so excited. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I'm so excited because we have an even fuller house than the first pod call last week. And before we jump into today's topic and all of the guests we have on the line, you know I'm going to run through these quick ground rules with you guys. So just bear with me, and let's go. Number one, we want to listen and learn from each other. I always believe we can learn something from everyone, even our enemies, if we can take the time just to listen. They, too, will eventually tell on themselves. Number two, respect and receipt. We are living in a time where people want to prove you wrong before they prove you right. So I ask all of my guests to come prepared because my listeners definitely do their homework and bring your receipts. Next, try not to use explicit language. Notice I said try because I am passionate too when it comes to our Father, truth, and justice. So I understand if you get caught up in the moment, but let's not make it a habit. Okay, guys? Number four, next I'm going to need you to bring your most authentic and humorous self, please. We want to hear your story, relate to you on a deeper spiritual level. And if you resonate with our audience, don't be surprised if I invite you back on the show, or you may be a part of the show. Who knows? But please, be true to yourself. That's all we ask. Five, if we're running short on time, I may need to interrupt you respectfully and ask that you kind of wrap it up, you know, the wrap it up box. And we need to regroup, or we need to hear someone else speak. So let's not cut people off, just, you know, general manners. If you continue to chat and hear me say, I will have to mute you, please understand, I will. Don't worry, you're not disconnected entirely. And last but not least, this one is dedicated to our dear sweet audience. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please feel free to contribute to the call. And we will definitely follow up and share your thoughts like we will in this podcast from the previous one and in the next session. So I'm a huge fan of group participation. Okay, guys, let's get started. We have two guests today on our podcast, so please pull up your chairs because I promise you this will be one for the record books. It will be so much so,
monumental.
It will be a two-part.
Monumental.
Yes, monumental. It will be a two-part podcast because there was just so much information here to uncover. Those of you who follow us on social media know that our primary mission is to support women and children, even if it requires exposing corruption happening behind the scenes that many, they fear to take a deeper dive into. We are not afraid. We do that right here. We got all the time. I'll tell you a little quick back history that drew me into this ministry relates to an injustice to women and children that I simply couldn't stand for. And as I always tell each of you, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Do you hear me, somebody? We are all about accountability here, and if you committed the crime, then chest out.
You'll do the time. You'll do the time.
You'll do the time and bring that same energy. Mm-hmm. Our next guest, I know you heard him in the background, and he's bringing his same energy, surely isn't shy to grab our mic. Apparently, he hit such a chord with a few of our listeners last week that we had to invite him back. Oh, my goodness. Well, because why? Well, we want all the smoke. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back, Mr. Thomas Lillard, ladies and gentlemen. Thomas.
Wow. Yes, Jewel, I am so glad to be back. I tell you, it was an exciting time last month and last week, actually. And I tell you, I've never done anything like that before, and it was such a great experience just to play it back and to realize, you know, just where we went with it, where we had planned to go with it. And I just tell you, this platform is wonderful. It's a great way to put your voice to be heard. And I'm not going to speak of just myself, but there's so many lessons to be learned, and there's so many life lessons to be learned, and I'm just glad to be a great part of it. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Oh, you're welcome, Thomas. We are so happy to have you guys. There was tons of feedback on what you had to say, and we're going to share some of that later on in the show with you guys. Last but not least, this one, I wish I had a drum roll, because this was groundbreaking. We have our very first female guest to the show. Yes, 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 our audience has asked for it, and guess what? We delivered. But not only have we delivered, we hit the jackpot with this one.
Mm-hmm.
This guest right here is a victim of a large-scale organized crime ring, fraud, and injustice that is presently occurring against women and children internationally. Yes, you heard that correctly. Internationally. Much of which I can say I also experienced myself here in the United States, that launched me into my very own calling with this podcast and ministry. And today, we are exposing it all and sharing with you this information for your very own protection. Here with us today is a businesswoman, film producer, actress, philanthropist, and did I say she was another female guest? Straight out of the United Kingdom. Boy, is this woman a firecracker. And not to mention, she keeps her receipts, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, please welcome the well-acclaimed Dr. Nina Ritchie to our podcast. Nina Ritchie is an accomplished philanthropist, businesswoman, film producer, actor, ambassador, has dedicated 43 years, ladies and gentlemen, of her
Woo-hoo!
Life to social society and charitable endeavors with her very own funds. We are honored to have you, Dr. Nina Ritchie, to our show. Nina.
Welcome. Welcome.
Woo-hoo! Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Ms. McQueen and Mr. Thomas, on your podcast show. It's brilliant. You are most inspiring people, host, and it's a pleasure to be on your show today and see how much I can contribute. And any questions you have that I can answer, it'll be my pleasure.
Excellent, excellent. I'm so excited if you guys didn't have this guest on today.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, let me share with you what our prayer call is. Our topic for today is why are we here? How did we get here? And 30 pieces of silver. Ooh, that's a deep one. Those
yeah.
of you that are reflecting on it right now, I know your minds are rotating like, I recall the 30 pieces of silver. Mm-hmm. How does that relate to how and why we got here? We're going to break that down to you today along with our sister's story. And we're going to start off with our scripture reading. I'm going to start first with our reading on Judas. And then I'm going to ask our brother Thomas to jump in afterwards with the reading on Job. And then we will proceed with the podcast as it relates to our very own female guest story. So, I will be reading from Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 25. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, it is I. With that, I'm going to ask Brother Thomas to jump on in with the tribulations of Job, reading from chapter 2, verses 1 through 13.
All righty. Thank you very much, Jewel. So basically this goes like this. So on another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, Where have you come from, Satan? Answered the Lord, From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity. Though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Skin for skin, Satan replied. A man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. Let me just scratch your hair off. The Lord said to Satan, Very well, then he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores and the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of the broken pottery and scraped himself with it. As he had sat among the ashes, his wife said to him, Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, I do apologize. My dog just, no! Lord, Cleo, she beat me out of it, Jewel. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I can jump
in my lap. I'm getting her off the bed.
In all of this, Job did not sin in what he said. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, excuse me if I am not saying it correctly, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Wow. Both of those scriptures, very heavy stuff. And we thought that it was only fitting because of the guest we have today and the bombs that she is going to share with us about not just betrayal, but getting through some of the difficult times in life when you feel maybe even abandoned while you are worshiping God and not understanding the journey. So with that said, Nina, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your background? I know I shared that you were an actress and philanthropist and so forth, but can you share with some of our listeners where exactly are you from and some of the projects you've done?
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you so much for having me on your show. And thank you to Mr. Thomas and both of you. It's a pleasure. And, of course, with the listeners, I will give my side of the story. I've been a philanthropist, and my background is media for 25 years, and I'm an actress and a businesswoman and a film producer. And Father Lord has, I need to share the testimony, which he's been asking me to do this. And my life has always been in the luxury and bling-bling side of things. I've traveled half of the world and sat with the most hard-hitting people. And Father wanted me to sort of do his ministry. Now, for the last 20 years, he wanted me to start the ministry and come to him. And I said, no, not now. I'm busy, you know. So I always told Father, I'm traveling, I'm doing my acting, I'm doing that, the lifestyle that I had, you know, the worldly lifestyle that I had. So when the time is right, I will come. So Father actually brought such a situation in my life, just like a Job story. Literally, he wiped everything out.
Uh-huh.
Everything.
Uh-huh.
My assets, friends, family, people, uh-huh. Everything. Completely everything. And I became homeless. Suicidal.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Lost business, lost everything. It just literally, really. And I couldn't understand why would these politicians I have supported in elections and all these media people that I was surrounded by, given 43 years of my life to the society, since I was 15 years old, I've been doing charity and helping others through my own money, what Father blessed me with. But one thing I didn't understand, which I'm going to share with everyone, and at that time, you know, when you have money, you have everything, your mind goes a bit of like not egoistic, but you're proudy, you know.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes
uh-huh.
The proud came. I had that proudy,
pride,
like
pride
Job.
Coming, yeah,
I had that.
Before fall. Yes, pride comes
exactly.
Before fall.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So I had that. And I was so proud. Look, I did this myself, and I'm a self-made
mm-hmm.
woman. You know, you
mm-hmm.
didn't help me. I was like that. And Father said, yeah, you did it yourself. Now let me take it away from you all.
Mm.
You did not bless. You
mm-hmm.
did not. It is I, the Father, who gave you everything. You did not do it
mm-hmm.
yourself. So Father literally brought a situation like this fraud into my... literally, the guy... defrauded me. I was doing my law degree, and I didn't give 60% of my company to him, and he wanted to invest $1 million. I did the project. He threatened to kill me. He said, I will render you homeless. Let's see how you do your business. He carried on. I didn't take him seriously. Then my accountant and Lord Shrapatkar had spoken to him. He said, Nina Richie wants to do this, because I wanted to open the production studio to help women and youth and men who are domestically abused and mentally tortured,
uh-huh.
to give them a sense
uh-huh.
of life in the society. Because men, a lot of men, not just women are abused, but men are abused psychologically,
uh-huh.
and they need support, you know, and
uh-huh.
youth need support. So I was going to give that platform and jobs to them and give them sense of living in a society, be part of, you know. Because a lot of people are going through that. And we made a movie called Unwanted Bride, where women were domestically abused and tortured. So I stayed in women's refuge over the weekend, and it was devastating what they were going through with their little children. So I thought, okay, I have to do this. I have to open the studio, help men, help women, help children. And this happened to me, and I became homeless. And the same politicians, same political party, same Douglas Goldring and all them, Shaman, they all ganged up on me, made homeless. I was blinded. I was called names. Shaman paid people to write fake stories about me, lie about me, accuse me of things that I never done. And I don't know what happened. I don't know what was going on. I was suicidal. They literally blacklisted me. Even in the court, even though my accountant died, Lord Shafat Khan died. Lord Shafat Khan came to as a representative in the court. And in the court, I was suicidal at that time. Even despite that, I put the case together. So basically, this guy blacklisted me, used Freemasons to blacklist me everywhere. And I have supported the member of Freemasons. I have supported the Labour Party, the Conservatives, the House of Lords, as I have shared all the information and evidence in the documentary as well. So you both know, which I'm really honoured that you have given me this platform, both of you, to share this story, because this story is so, such a passionate story that both, it touches your hand, because you're both of you are into this. And from what I know, that you've done, both of you have done a great work, and you're doing a brilliant job in the society. And I thought, and you gave me this platform to share these stories with the world of how women are targeted by a member of Freemason, Mason men, who go on social media and they target the vulnerable women who are trying to put food on the table for their children. There are some single women, single mothers. There are single women who are trying to build their life in the society, but we have people like some of the members, not all the members, I'm not putting the Freemason institution down, but there are some bad apples in every institution. There is always a bad people. And Sharma was one of them. Now, Sharma has lied about me in such a way that I was nearly killed. They planned to kill me. And I couldn't understand why. Yeah, murder. Attempted murder. I was in a, such a situation. I became sick. I was blinded. I've never been through, because I've never come across anything like that. They put me in the most unsanitary places, which I've lived in a luxury place, these nice places. And yeah, this is what they did. I had my door broken into, lied to, recording me, cornering me, calling me, they, even the police, they started writing fake reports saying I'm mentally ill, but I'm not. And I thought, hang on a minute, I'm an ambassador and I'm a human rights activist. I've supported the House of Lords. I've supported the Constitution of Great Britain. What is going on? What is happening? Now, God gave me the gift. God gave me the strength. And when I was in a temporary accommodation, I couldn't understand what was going on, and I was just crying and crying. And Father spoke to me. And it was the first time that's how I came to Jesus. That's how I came to Father Lord, that Father himself is speaking. Pastor said, no, there is a the Father actually wants you to work for him. He wants you to do his ministry. You have to. I said, how can I? I've lost everything. I got a spiritual attacks. So this is what I was going through. And I was just literally crying and crying. And all of a sudden, the Bible just opens up and he said, read Job. And I said, what is Job? I haven't read the Bible. I started reading Job, and I thought, oh, my good God, this man gone through what I'm going through right now. So I can relate, and now I have given myself, I literally, Father has taken me away from my what I used to be.
Right, and took your comfort.
Yeah, my comfort, yes, into that. And Father has taught me so much that I could never thank him enough. I can literally, family, friends, everybody used to be around me. Everybody completely blocked me. And I was just, I was left alone, And I was getting attacked from the, from Freemasonry, breaking into my apartment, poisoning my food. The mental institution, they wanted to plan to, I had one commander in police came to my house, and he saw the documents, he saw the evidence that this guy was running what happened. Next thing I know that, despite him knowing that they put a spy camera in the hotel room, stole 3,000 pounds worth of my items in the hotel room. And I called the police. They didn't take reports. They took reports, but they didn't do nothing about it. Then our father started, then we started exposing all this. If I had not exposed what I had on social media, I wouldn't be here giving this interview. I would have been dead. Imagine. And I have given 43 years of my life to the society, never taken a dollar from anyone.
Wow.
And take taxes for 41 years. And I couldn't understand. I said, why are they hating me? I've helped them. I helped the council. I've helped the local government. I've helped the Constitution of Great Britain. I've helped the law enforcement. I've done parachute jump for Great Ormond Street, the children with cancer, and raised funds. I've done all this. I've supported each and every one of them, gave them my time. Why do they want to kill me? Big question. All because of one business transaction. This guy is a narcissist. Then we started investigating. Then Lord Shafiq Khan basically said, I will kill you, I will kill you. I didn't take him seriously. Yeah, I could have had my PhD in law. I couldn't. So basically they blocked me, they monitored me, they hacked into my phone, poisoned my food. I was sick.
You were targeted.
I was targeted. Exactly, Mr. Thomas. Exactly. So basically this is what happened. And I thought, why am I sick? Why is my skin like this? I had the most beautiful skin. And I would end up in hospital, you know, with the doctors and the council said, we're not going to help you. We're not going to do this. They would send people knocking on my door. They would send throw stones at my window. They would throw eggs at my window. They would break into my house, start stealing. There were documents. 12 to 13 rules of law are broken, breached against me. Yeah?
They were determined to eliminate you.
Exactly. And these are the council I supported, Mr. Douglas Goldring and the Labour Party and the Conservative Party. And these are the people I know. It's not the people that I don't know. These are the people I've supported in the campaign, in elections. Very close to me, smiling, calling me a sister, but they were digging my grave. And they supported. Then I started digging. The police would not take any, they came and took a report. And when I tried to phone the police to find out, I call my doctor and I get a letter actually at home thinking it's a letter from the Scotland Yard, from the doctor saying, from the police saying that we are investigating the crime that's been committed against you. And then to my surprise, I get a letter from the mental health hospital. And I thought, what the hell is this? I called, I said, what is this? She said, oh, the police called us. Regards to you have a mental health issue, and I've spoken to the head. Yeah, I've spoken to the head of the hospital, and I said, "What is this?" And I explained to her. I said, "Actually, I'm fighting a financial fraud, and this guy actually is paying people who is working in the National Health Service. It's fabricated. And Lord Ashcroft, he's got a charity called Crime Stoppers. Now, Lord Ashcroft, who has the Crime Stoppers." He fights against fraud, advocating against the fraud and money laundering, but turning blind eye to his comrade, to the Sharma, who has raped women, who's got a fake degree, lied to the Constitution about his fake degree, has 11 bank accounts in India. He basically installs spy, he pays people to install spy cameras in single women's apartments, then blackmails them. He hires people, he gets them people to work for him, and when the time comes to pay up, he lies to the Freemasons, he will lie to everybody else to gang up on a victim that he defrauded. So this is the tactic he's playing. Then he had three different signatures. So when a person, when a business person takes him to court, he will deny his own signature, saying, I didn't sign this.
Wow.
Do you know the game that he's playing here?
He's a slippery slope.
Exactly. So he's been doing, so I did my own, the police couldn't do investigation because they were free, member of Freemasons. And I did my own investigation. I called people in India and he said, well, the guy is dangerous. He's been in a jail when he was young. And I got a, they wanted to repossess my property. I got a call for it. I said, you're going to repossess your property. I said, what property? You blame me. Stole everything from me. I don't have nothing to my name anymore. So what can he steal? What I don't have. So this is, and then they accused me of, oh, you're a spy for Indian government. I said, excuse me? So they were trying to plot a criminal activity against me. So I said, really? If I was a spy for Indian government, do you think I'd be in this situation?
Sure.
So they were plotting, they were uneducated. You are uneducated. You are fake. Yeah. You are uneducated. Yeah. So this guy, Abdullah Rabbi, who broke into my house, Sharma sent him thinking he's from a media. He said, I've got a newspaper, media newspaper, and I want to do an interview. And I said, oh, brilliant. Somebody wants to get the story out there just the way you have given me the platform. I met him and didn't realize that he's the one sitting in front of me. He's the one who was sent by Sharma, who stole from my apartment the document. And he's the one who was poisoning the food. And he said, oh, you know, I go into women apartments. You know how we poison the food? And I said, it's the first time I've heard all this. I've never come across this. And I said, excuse me? He said, we go and poison the food. You know, we put something liquid type of thing. And even if they get a heart attack, if he comes with blood, it will take him to the hospital. If we take a blood test and there is nothing in the blood test and the person, you know, we take get these women to sign their deeds on our name. And I said, excuse me? That means you're deceiving. And I said, how do you know what's inside my apartment? I said, have you? He said, well, I know. I'm spiritual, so I know everything. And I said, where did the spirituality come? I said, some things you don't even. I said, how do you know the documents I have? How do you know how my blanket feels? Or my blanket looks? How, you know, the intimate things he started telling me this. And this is the guy who works in the National Health, and he works in the National Health Service. Sent by Sharma and Mr.
Crazy.
Douglas Goldring. Mr. Douglas Goldring in the Independent Taxpayers Authority works there. He's the one who's supposed to protect the victim, women.
Right.
Yeah. He's the one who shared a victim's personal data to Sharma in order for the criminals, it's an organized crime going on in London, for them to come and break into women's apartment and steal.
Mm-hmm.
And when you call the police, the police will write a fake report that she's mentally sick. They won't take them seriously. They put them in a hospital or in the mental institution, and they will repossess their properties, and they will take all their properties if they had any assets. So this is an organized crime that's going on in London.
Yes, rigged. Crime.
It's
definitely.
Completely rigged.
London.
Exactly.
No, it's not.
So I had so many women saying this to me, and even one of the lawyers said the same thing. He said, Miss Ritchie, you're not a victim. You don't understand what I had to say. Now I'm a victim. I totally understand. A lot of women out there are doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the single mother, I think she was from Jamaica. I don't know. She's here in London, she was in Scotland actually, and she said to, you know, he said, my things are going missing out of my house. And I said, what you mean? I said, did you call the police? Was there a break? And he said, no, somebody's just coming into my house and things are going missing. I've got young children. I'm a single mother. You know, I work. And I said, did you call the police? He said, yes, I called the police, and they're writing fake reports saying I'm mentally ill. I can't do that because social services will take my children away from me. And they will take my house.
What a tangled web they're weaving.
So this is what happened. Now, exactly. So this is a corruption and fraud going on.
Yes.
And I thought, okay, why would the council put me next to the unsafe door? Unsafe door so they can break into it. And they sent somebody to check the door to see if they can install the door. And he said, your door opens with the wind. And I said, excuse me, I never said my door opens with the wind. On Friday, they sent him to measure the door to put a new door, a front door. To my surprise, Saturday morning, early morning, my front door was wide open. I called the police, and I said to the police, listen, my life could be in danger. Anybody, Lishama is a psychopath. He's a narcissist.
Uh-huh.
He kills his people that he doesn't want to pay money to. And he could have killed me. So the police said to me, well, you're not dead, are you? I said, excuse me?
You know.
I said, you're a woman, and you're saying this to another woman? You're a police officer. I just put the phone down.
Sensitivity.
Insane.
Our Scotland Yard, our police, our constitution never have been like this. Never.
Oh,
it seems as terrorists and the criminals have taken over. And
corruption.
Some of them are
worldwide corruption. It's awful.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And some of them are members of Freemasons. So I wrote to the Freemasons. I told them what's going on. I wrote to House of Parliament. I wrote to, spoken to my local MP. Local MP, these are the people that I supported in their elections in the campaign. Wouldn't take my call. Then the chairman of the UKIP party wrote letters to Scotland Yard. We sent information 2 years ago, 3 years now. Well, nothing. They're shielding him. And Sharma goes around saying, openly, even if I committed a murder, I'm protected by Lord Ashcroft and Freemasonry. I said,
wow.
So basically, these two, so Lord Ashcroft,
it's the good old boy's
Lord Ashcroft
outfit.
Yeah.
It's the good old boy's outfit. That's what it is. Mm-hmm.
So Lord Ashcroft, who's got a charity organized, Crime Stoppers, the Crime Stoppers charity is the charity that is actually advocates against the crime and catches criminals, and they expose them on a social in a television show, and he's turning blind eyes to this rapist murderer Sharma. I'm going to give you one example. One of his ex-employee had a cancer, and they had little children. So his ex-employee asked him to sign the contract. He said, I will sign it. He never signed it. And the wages went up to £10,000. He didn't pay. He paid £2,000. And he said, look, my wife has a cancer. I need money for my medical. You know, I need my children are young. Now, I have shared that testimony to you as well for your information. Basically, this guy hired someone with a gun to go and shoot him. And in England, they are very strict about laws regarding guns. We don't have like in America, you know, everybody can have a gun with a license.
Right.
In London, in the United Kingdom, we are very strict when it comes to gun crime.
Yeah.
Even our police officers recently, by mistake, shot dead one of the guys. Now the police officers got sacked, and none of the police officers want to carry a gun.
So
we are quite strict when it comes to carrying guns and killing people and all that. But it seems that this guy is getting away with it. I'm not the only victim. Imagine how many women out there he's defrauded out there can't speak. If he can do this to me and pay people off, and he's getting away, which he shouldn't get away with it. And this is the platform. He's come to America as well. He's got 46 companies. How a guy can't speak a word of English, proper English, used to work in a shop floor. How come he's in politics with forgery? Committing 12% rule of laws.
Whose hands did he grease? We wonder about that one.
Exactly.
Nina, you mentioned something about these Freemasons been using these organized crime gangs of some sort to corrupt the criminal justice system, and one even boldly threatening you with the power that they can yield. Can you share a little bit more about this organization as you know it, and give our audience a better understanding of how is it their tentacles are reaching out into the police force, the lawyers, judges, the school systems, the social services? Can you share that? Because I don't think everyone may understand as to how something like this could possibly happen.
I'm a philanthropist, so I help everyone. I don't look at organization as a criminals or anything. I didn't know that they were into this type of things. I thought they were business people. I thought they were just an institution that supports small businesses and does charitable work and helps the charity, which they do help charity and they do give it to charities, which I have seen and a lot of, and there are some remarkable members in the Freemason who are, do contribute and they do support, which I have seen it in my own eyes. But I can't not put the whole institution bad because of some of the bad apples in it.
Right.
So what I feel, exactly, yeah, bad apples I call it. So when I wrote to House of Parliament, House of Lords, and I said Lord Rami Ranger, he's very close to Sharma, and he's a donor of a Conservative Party as well as Lord Ashcroft. They're both a donor. And because of them two, they put Sharma into the pedestal in the politics with the fake degree, with the forgery, with the rape, with all the criminal background. Why would a man support someone like that? So when I asked them, can you refrain from supporting this criminal and have him investigated? I got a threatening letter from the House of Lords saying, if you keep sending us this, we will take appropriate action. I said, yeah, really? I said, I came to House of Lords and supported you. Well, now you're turning back at me and you're supporting the criminal because of your Freemason brotherhood. So we have, in the House of Parliament, we have they have a lodge, which they're not supposed to, actually. They're not supposed to have a lodge in the House of Parliament. This is a taxpayer's constitution.
Oh.
You know, this is a parliament, so they're not supposed to have a lodge in the House of Parliament. So the lawyers, the judges, the MPs, the journalists, they are all in there. They're members, so they're going to support their own brotherhood and not the woman who's been defrauded, and they're going to target a woman. So this is what has happened. So this is what's going on in London.
Yeah, I'm going to say something, Nina. Basically, what you're describing, this is not just in, you know, the UK. It can be in any kind of country. And basically, it's because women basically are, you know, they go experience all this and they shut up. They close their voice. And so I think this is wonderful that you have been given, you know, this voice that you have and this ability. Yes. And if you don't know, she's very dynamic. And she's very modest, let me say this, because the things that she's done, we say that she's basically, you know, a chameleon. I mean, she can change into so many different routes and so many different kind of the businesses and all this kind of things in her life. But with what she's had to deal with, from basically going from riches to rags, and normally it is just the opposite. Normally someone climbs the status in society going from rags to riches. Well, she went the other way. And so this is, again, comparison to Joe, because this is what happened with...
She went the other way forcefully. It wasn't by any...
Yes,
anything,
exactly.
Any cause of her own.
Yes. And so this is something that can be just detrimental to you. And I commend you, Nina, on being able to be, you know, forceful and forthright and basically, you know, not going to let them get you down no matter what they did. And, you know, you mentioned in the story basically that, you know, you had your accountant and then mysteriously, you know, he ended up dead. Now, some people can say, speculate on that. But it's kind of interesting that this had all of the information that you needed for, you know, to go to court to fight the showman, but this did not happen because they were always one step ahead of you. And see, that's exactly what I think the women, that women are finding out. They see there's no way. And so they're thinking that, you know, well, I'm just going to keep quiet. And even though this has happened to me and it's injustice, you know, you're trying to get out there and be an advocate and say these things, basically saying, you know, I believe in justice, and I believe that things will come out right, but you've got to be given the opportunity. And this, I'm so grateful for you to have this opportunity to talk to us about this because you have a different perspective. In other words, it's under the other side of the pond, basically, people fail it. But, you know, just because we're thinking of all our country, of what goes on in our country, and we're facing this with the Freemasons and with the corrupted governments and the police and all this kind of things. And so we're thinking, oh, we're just isolated. It's just us. But what you have brought mm-hmm. it to the table is that basically it's everywhere. And that you have faced mm-hmm. this, and you being in a higher echelon of society, and they still turned on you. So in other words, the lesson here is, it don't matter who you are.
Who you are.
What you've done.
Yeah, it can happen to anybody.
It's mm-hmm. just sick. It's sick. And to know that these people are out there, and they're basically looking to see who they can attack next. And it's, again, it's becoming their livelihood. And so it's almost like I won't say challenge, but it's almost like they look for opportunities to get into people's lives and twist them and turn them and do everything, like that Crime Stoppers. Okay, now that's supposed to be a good thing, right? Crime Stoppers. So he supposedly, gives money for that and donations for that. And so those people are out there to solve the crime, right? Well, I think we've all had that here in the United States. We have basically, we've relied on our police and investigators to do that kind of work. And what we're finding is that because of the tentacles of the Freemasons, we're seeing they're turning a blind eye. And basically those mm-hmm. that we thought and we were supportive of are basically just the same as what yours are. And is that not a dynamic that we never thought we would face in our lifetime? And so, you reach out to these women and you feel sympathy for them and you're just trying to do whatever you can. And Nina, that's to your attribute that you basically have carried on this your own self, but you realize that there needs to be a voice that speaks for these women that are afraid. Yes. And this is amazing. And when I talked to you last night, early morning, we talked about so many different things. And I'm telling you people, this is a woman who would not be stopped. And that's the truth. I mean, she ran up against so many roadblocks and so many other women probably would have already given up by now. She did not. Yes. Now she lost her health. She lost her wealth. She lost her status. Her own friends turned against her. The government turned against her. And now you're facing all those things on your level, and you're having to deal with it. But then there's the people who are the low class or whatever, and they are facing it, but they don't have an advocate. So, what you're bringing to light to us here, and we're so grateful for it, is that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And this is it.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for, Nina. You're looking for, your justification. You're looking for your vindication. You're looking for your validity of what you did, your life. You want to get your life back. These women do the same thing, but they don't have the power, they think. But what you're trying to instill in them and all women and men as well, because they've been abused men as well, that there is that light at the end of the tunnel. Jill, do you understand? Do you agree with that as well?
I agree with that, and I want to even add a little bit more onto what you said, Thomas, because you said something that was really key. And you said specifically that they're always one step ahead of her.
Yes.
And as I listened to her story, I reflected on the point you made and thought, well, the reason why they're one step ahead of her in every angle that she's moving in is because, well, if they have hidden cameras in her home, then they can see what she's doing. If they're mm-hmm. hacking her devices, they can see what she's doing. If they're mm-hmm. bribing individuals, law enforcement, they can control where she's going and how far it goes. So I thought that was really a really interesting statement, Thomas, you made about being one step ahead of her and wondering mm-hmm. why isn't she getting a breakthrough here and there's so many avenues slowing her down. It's because of that invasion of privacy that's happening and the abuse of power on just a broad level.
Basically the control is in the Freemasons. Let's look at it. I mean, basically, they are controlling the narrative. They basically have decided, it's a good voice system. and they're going to be supportive of this Freemason, whatever. And basically, yes, he's hoodwinked them, and basically he's lied to them, but they don't care. In other words, it don't matter about who, when, and where. It depends on what their cause is. And when they feel like that one of them is attacked, all of them attack. And that's what they've done. And that's what they continue to do here in our United States as well. And I'm sure they also do it in many other governments. And so I am so glad that we have the opportunity to hear it from a person who's experienced it. Because, again, so many other women have experienced it and never voiced it. That's the important thing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ms. Ritchie, for sharing with us what exactly is going on over there in London. And as Thomas said, there's innocent women here in the United States, and I'm sure all around the world, that probably aren't as educated to put two and two together to realize where the source is and how can their world come crumbling down, their reputation, everything that they built for years, crumble down overnight with slander, abuse of power, threats, invasion of privacy. I mean, just hitting women from all angles as if they were, I hate to say it, but they're treated almost like property or cattle.
Yeah, amen. There you go. There you go.
It's insane.
Now, let me say something. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, finish. And then I'll go ahead. You go ahead. I don't want to interrupt. Go ahead. Finish what you were going to say.
Well,
and then I'm going to add
something. I was just going to say that it takes a really strong woman to not just speak up and speak out, but to advocate for other women while you're going through this and share your story to inspire these women who may feel like there is no way out from this corruption, this abuse, this just constant harassment day in and day out, and still you stand tall, 10 toes down, not giving up. And I respect you and applaud you for that, Dr. Ritchie. Thank you so much for being on our podcast.
Strong individual. And it took strength, Nina. It took strength. And it took God-given strength to get you where you are today. And, you know, yes, you still have a little bit of road to go to, and there's a little bit more left of that to get to the light of the tunnel, but I feel confident that because you know that Jesus and Yeshua is in your life and is controlling of your life, that there is going to be that light at the end of the tunnel. Now, I'm going to say something. One thing that we realized, I think everybody's had career day when you were growing up in elementary school, and weren't you so amazed when you had the police officer and he came to your class and he said all these things and you believed in him? And this is what we're facing right now. So when we reach out now as grown-ups and we think the police are in our corner and they are going to be the ones to step up and just help us, we're finding it not to be the case. And because of this evilness that's in the world right now and the Freemasonry that is going on in the world right now, that everybody's been bought and paid for.
And so
we,
for 30 pieces of silver.
Yes. And so if we oh, my God, yes. And if we do not turn our sights toward Yeshua and God, Lord help us. And I'm saying this because you need to fall back on that. You need to realize you can't handle it on your own. Nina,
No, of course. Sorry to interrupt you there. Let me just say this. Without Yeshua, without God, without my prayers that I have prayed, I wouldn't be here. And, and as you said that at school we used to have police, I actually did my work experience in the police station because I wanted to become a police officer. And I had such a high hope. And I wanted to, and I respected the law enforcement. And when we have Nottingham Carnival, we had a huge fire here and many people died. And at that time I was homeless and I hardly had much money. And even though we had fires here, it was a huge international fire. This whole building just went in flames, and many people died. And we had firefighters and police officers. I still, despite my little bit of money, I went to the church from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. I bought sandwiches and refreshments and everything what little I had for the police officers, for the firemen, and gave them. I, because I thought it's a community, we come together and we support. It doesn't matter if I have a little bit of money, if I've lost everything, it doesn't matter. I'm giving something back to the community. So what they did to me, and what the council did to me, that they were trying to kill me, at Christmas time, I bought them each in boxes of chocolates, and I said, you know what?
Oh, my goodness.
You showed me hatred. This is a love from God. I'm showing
you
that.
There you go.
So Christmas time, and I told them, I said, you showed me hatred. Besides, I supported your council, local council, local authority. And that each and every one of you, I bought boxes of chocolate at Christmas time. You know, I said, Father showed you love, but you showed hatred towards Father.
Right. Right. See, you rose above. See, you rose above it, Nina. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what makes you stand out in the crowd, you know? And, you know, you had the platform there in the UK, and again, you know, you're looking to get, because you know this is just not over the pond happening. This is everywhere, and so everyone needs to know they have a voice. They do. And basically, you're starting
right here,
out to be that
fundraising.org.
Oh, yes. Yes, you're starting out to be that voice. But what you're hoping for and encouraging people to do is come forward. You know, if we would be simply out front and tell people what we know and how we've been mistreated, I do believe there would be camaraderie, okay? And you know what they say, there's safety in numbers. There is. And so when you have safety in numbers and you feel comfortable, and then you can come together as a group, an advocacy group, how about it? And that they can have a voice, and they can come and do a platform, and you can speak to that platform. My gosh, with the things that you have dealt with and the voices you have and the power that you have exhibited in all of this and the strength based on only your belief in God and your following of Yeshua, this is why you are where you are. And these people will have a voice, and then perhaps they'll be encouraged to grow that kind of, I guess, neighborhood watch, we want to say, because we're all neighbors, right? We're neighbors. And if we don't get back to that.
And we should be our brother's keeper, our sister's keeper.
Amen. Oh, my God. Amen. Amen. Because, again, just like you, you know, you were downtrodden. But what did you do out of the goodness of your heart? You see, that's what we need to get back to. This is what Yeshua says. We need to show compassion. We need to show love. These are words that Yeshua thrives on. And when we turn our back, say, for instance, there's a senior citizen, okay, and he falls. Do you know how many people walk past him because they don't have the time? Maybe they have to go to the gym or whatever. And we need to get back to this common decency. Common decency. And this is important.
I think what's happened, exactly, what's happened in the society now, they've lost the sense of compassion.
Yes.
And brotherly and sisterly love and compassion.
Yes.
There is so much greed, lies, you know, jealousy, hatred. And
evil.
And for women who are advocating and helping women, I feel ashamed of those women who are supporting men like this, who to gang up on another woman. They should bury their heads in shame, because
Amen.
I don't feel that they've got any. Yeah, those women who support men to gang up on another woman.
That's awful.
I think that is the lowest of the low a person can go because of the little bit of people, because of people making a bit of money or getting promotion.
I'll say this, Nina. Let me say this. Those that do the support better beware, because it could come and fall on them. In other words, they might be at some elite group in society, but so are you. And look how it turned on you. And beware, But where you allow something to fester and grow, it will come back and get you. For sure.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was something that you stated that still is on my mind here, and I want to bring it up again. You mentioned that at some point they were trying to gaslight you and make you appear as if you mm-hmm. were not mentally stable. And I mm-hmm. noticed that seems to be a constant theme from what I'm hearing. And it reminds me of a quote that I heard. I think it was Dave Chappelle who said, the worst thing to call somebody is crazy. It's dismissive. Mm-hmm. I don't understand this person, so they're crazy. And he mm-hmm. says, he goes on to say, that's BS. These people are not crazy. They are strong people. Maybe their environment is a little sick.
Yes.
And I wanted to share that quote with you because, you know, there's this effort to constantly gaslight and make women like you appear a certain way so they can get away with these crimes. Mm-hmm. And it's the same playbook from what you're describing that's being used on many women around the world. Some of them aren't as fortunate enough or as educated enough to see their way out of these institutions that they mm-hmm. were pigeonholed into, or see their way out of prison that they were mm-hmm. put into, or see their children out of the social services' hands that they were pulled into. And I wanted to emphasize that, you know, we as a society need to stop and see the corruption and call it out for what mm-hmm. it is, and stop manipulating, stop gaslighting, and stop mm-hmm. harassing women mm-hmm. and children by mm-hmm. all means necessary.
Excellent
of course,
work.
You know, Jill. like when this Freemason and when they start all the police saying that women has, but they don't realize it was a recent in the news that I think there was about 11,000 women in England and Wales. Right. We a certain age when the woman reaches, they have a HRT hormone imbalance. When they have a mm-hmm. hormone imbalance, what happens is they suffer from anxiety, panic attacks. And mm-hmm. depression. That's part and parcel of HRT, hormone imbalance. So what the doctor did, the doctor prescribed them antidepressants rather than yes. called them mentally ill. The doctor yes. didn't give them
wow.
HRT. Hey, yeah.
Yes.
So it was in the news recently. It was in the news in the UK. And that's what I had, HRT, hormone imbalance.
Yeah.
And I said, hang on a minute. I said, I got a HRT. I do my research. I know what medication, what it is. And I'm
you.
Quite educated. So I always,
yeah.
And I know a lot of professors, I know in the Harvard professors and all that. I educate myself really well, and every medication, everything, I do really good research. And I said, HRT
yeah.
has these symptoms, and these are the symptoms I have, but how can you, I said, educate your hospitals, educate
yeah.
your doctors, educate
yeah.
your police officers that when you
yeah.
go and knock on a woman who's a victim of financial fraud, knock on her door, find out if she's suffering from HRT. If she is, then you know that it's a hormone imbalance and not mentally, because police officers are not qualified
Friend.
Psychiatric for, in
no,
order for them
not.
To... it's a defamation against... these guys, Douglas Goldring, independent authorities, he gets £100,000 a year job, and he supported a criminal activity rather
uh-huh.
than supporting, because of their brotherhood, rather than supporting
uh-huh.
a victim of a financial fraud
uh-huh.
whose life was in danger.
Uh-huh.
And this
uh-huh.
woman... Yeah, exactly. I myself said, look, just give me somewhere, I can't find a private property at the moment. Give me somewhere decent so I can focus on my case. I'm willing to fight my own cases because I'm very good at that. I've got a bit of a knowledge about the law. So I know how
mm-hmm.
to put the cases together and fight my own case because I have all the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
In
mm-hmm.
when you're fighting
yeah.
the case, all you need is an argument and evidence. So without evidence,
mm-hmm.
if you have evidence of everything, then that's it. The case is you won. And Sharma didn't have none
mm-hmm.
of that. What Sharma did, he's Freemason to block me everywhere. No lawyers will take my case.
And stole your evidence. Remember, you said
broke into my apartment, stole evidence, and Douglas Goldring, and they could end up in prison for 20 years. Now, attempted murder is a 10-year prison sentence. They wanted to attempt to murder me. So they sent me a death threat.
Unbelievable.
You know, and defamation. So 12 to 13 rule of law, breaching 12 to 13 rule of law, independent authorities, taxpayers authorities, they're supposed to look after the victim of crime. And they're supposed to actually put a camera, CCTV camera outside my apartment for my safety, but they didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they send their people to throw stones, windows, or whatever. They try to do that. But when it comes to breaking into my house, at least I have put a bit of an investigative knowledge, because I've done some work experience in one of the leading newspapers in the late 90s, undercover work for investigation. So I have a lot of knowledge of investigating and who's behind me, and who's stalking me, who's doing what. I know everything. I know how to gather evidence. So I'm very good at that. So I used to just expose them on social media. Our hashtag page, our 500-700 people were just 24 hours deleted.
Mm-hmm.
It was our hashtag hashtag and our social justice for women in business. And this page was only to expose fraud and crime.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in businesses. And a lot of women are doing businesses. And this is to advocate women and the future youth generation who are leaving colleges, who are leaving university. Be mindful. Just don't sway into somebody offering you money on social media or offering you to invest. This guy is sending people sent his people in Nigeria to do money laundering. Now this guy, Sharma, is doing money laundering for Indian government. He's doing money laundering for the politicians. The amount of the crime that's going on in London, it's half of it, 60% of it's committed by members of the Freemasons.
Yes. Yes. Now, you know, one thing I do want to bring up, and we said a lot about women, and I'm going to bring in the male perspective here, but we realize, too, that they're also, and it's not spoken of, and I think probably it's the unspoken, is the men that are abused. And basically,
of course.
Yes, and it's huge. And basically, the men, though, it's like a pride thing. Like, you know, again, you know, we don't want to admit to something like that. Like, we've been taken advantage of, maybe financially, or, you know, this guy said he was going to pay me money for this job, and then when it comes time to do it, he only gives me half of it, and then you try to go to the court, and the court says, well, where's your evidence? And he says, well, okay, I've got this, and you think you've got everything all lined up, and then when you get back to court, well, the story's changed. And so then you realize that the tentacles of the Freemasons are out there. They're in the judges. They're in the police officers. They're in the lawyers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may even go to a reputable lawyer and think that you've got representation. You may not have. So these are the things that, you know, we're facing. And, Nina, I tell you, this world is an evil world, and it's just something that, again, the only way we're going to combat this is if we rely on Yeshua. And this is sad.
I came to New York, I think it was 2012-13, I came to New York with one of the projects I came. And I met this judge, ex-Harvard, I'm going to share this story. Ex-judge, I met him, I was having a lunch, and he joined me. He was sitting on his own, so he came and joined me, and we started discussing. I didn't know, I was a law student at that time, and we just started speaking to each other. And he said he's an ex-judge, and he's a Harvard graduate. He was 60 at that time. And he started discussing everything, and he gave me his card. And he said, anytime you want to, when you finish your law degree, come to university here in New York, you know, Harvard University. You know, I'll give you a great lesson because you've got a lot of knowledge about the law. And the British Constitution law is paramount, is very strong. So I thought, oh, brilliant. So when I came back and when I was trying to get members to join Freemasonry, which I thought, in my mind, I thought, okay, this institution supports small businesses and they're supporting women and they're supporting charities. So I thought, let me go and try and get them members to join so they can support, people like me.
Yes.
Of course. So I called this judge and I said, "Judge, would you like to join Freemason?" Now, the judge actually said, "Young lady, stay away from them." I said, "Excuse me?" You know, and I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, there are 30 plus million people and they are growing every day. If that doesn't tell you, and they want to shut them down, if that doesn't tell you, then I don't know what it is. I would not, but I'm telling you from my advice, stay away from them.
They're
a good woman.
Stay away from them." Cancer.
So
it's
I couldn't understand.
Yeah,
exactly. So I, at that time, I didn't understand what he meant. But now when I have gone through it, and these are the Freemason members that I know who's done this to me. These are the, you know, so they've been biased against women, non-Freemasonry.
Yes.
They are biased against non-Freemasonry. And our politicians and our constitution should not differ.
No.
You know,
no,
they're not supposed
to. But the whole thing of it is, Nina, greed, money. That's the whole thing. It's what feeds it. It's what feeds this crime. It's what feeds, you know, these people thinking they can take advantage of these women because of the money that's involved with it. And I'm just sick and tired of it. Sick and tired of these people thinking that they can take advantage of these people like this all because of money.
Exactly. How can you steal from a woman? And the guy was poisoning my food, and I thought, how come I got all these skin rashes? And how come I was the most healthiest person? I've never been sick. And all of a sudden, since I moved in here, I'm sick. I'm ill. I've got skin rashes.
Mold.
I'm ill. I have skin mold. Black mold. I had you saw the pictures, the shoes and my clothes, everything just ruined. He had mold everywhere. My fridge freezer, microwave, everything.
They intentionally put you in that environment because they wanted to tear you down.
Exactly. And my doctors literally wrote, they said, take her out of there because she can't even breathe. She's got eye rashes, she's got this, she's been blinded, she's had a stroke, she's had a shingles. She can't, 6 to 7 weeks I was in, they would send fake plumbers, they would record, they would send my neighbor to record me in my own apartment, they would record me. I mean, thank God in that 7 years I've taken evidence. I took evidence of each and every one of them.
Because, see, you were that type of individual, Nina, that's the thing that sets you apart from so many women. You were strong-willed, and you also had Yeshua in your back and supported you. And, you know, if God be before us, who can be against us? And so, So you had the best advocate out there. And so what I want to throw out to the public and everybody that's listening to us, please make sure that Yeshua is your first advocate before you go and try to do these things. Say your prayer. Prayer is a mighty strong tool to fight this evil and this corruption. But if you try to go on it on your own, you're going to have a very difficult time. And you're going to have roadblocks. And you're going to have people that stab you in the back, family members that you thought were be your support group. They're not. And you're finding that this cancer is growing. This avarice is the root of all evil, and it is so true. And I'm sure all of you are seeing injustice every single day. And it's time put a stop to it.
Exactly. Worst thing, I have never seen this before in this country or anywhere else in my growing up or anything. They started putting voodoo dolls outside my front door. I mean, I've sent you the pictures of what they were putting, the artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
And these are voodoo dolls. Yes. The voodoo dolls, the black magic and God knows, and I've never seen anything like that in my life. I am not one of those, I'm a corporate woman, I'm into the different things, spirituality and God. But I've never seen anything like that.
So they use black magic against you, voodoo. I mean, what this means is it's the links that they will, there's no links that they won't try. To put you to an end. It's awesome.
I just laughed and I took pictures and I put it on social media. I said, how can a human being go as low as this to destroy one single woman who has done nothing wrong but supported the society, supported these politicians, supported my local authorities, and they want to targeted me for what reason?
You know why? You know why, Nina? Because they can. And we have given them that ability. We have supported them and should not have. When we first saw it happen, this is it. This is what I'm getting at. So when you see something that you know is wrong, it's time to take a stand. It's time to realize that this could lead to something else because it is a cancer that's growing. And so if we tend to just want to, you know, close our eyes and it's not going to go, it's going to go away. When you open your eyes, what are you going to see right in front of you? It's right there in front of your face. And then you're having to deal with it, just like Nina's had to deal with it. And everybody else is starting to deal with it. It's growing. And we've got to take a stand and say, enough is enough. Let's take back our community. Let's take back our lives. Let's realize that the only way that we're going to survive, we've got to be willing to, you know, and we're going to lead up in the second session about the Good Samaritan. We've got to be the new Good Samaritans in this world. We've got to be. No matter who this person is, racial, nothing with that. We're human beings.
We are brothers and sisters on earth, and we're supposed to support each other. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, yellow, or pink.
Amen.
We support each other. That's how my upbringing was. That's how my father said. My father said, when you go out and give a hand, one thing he said to me, he said, my mom and dad, he said, even if the enemy knocks on your door in the middle of the night, feed him. It doesn't matter if he's your enemy. He's hungry.
Yeah.
You're feeding God's child.
Yeah.
And I thought, why do I want to feed my enemy? Why would I? What? He's my enemy. He said, no, feed him.
Yeah.
Because God will bless you.
Well, I tell you, when you were just talking just then, I just had a guest, Yeshua, just spoke to me. And he says, you remember the child song? And I'm going to sing it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak and he is strong. But what they're saying is that, you know, it's looking, and we need to focus on those child songs that we were taught. You know, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. This is true, people.
It's true.
These are values that we have tossed aside, and we can't allow it anymore. We've got to bring back those strong Christian values. And only we can do it.
We need Bibles back. We need Bibles back in the schools. We need Bibles back in the hotels.
I tell you, when our country started going down the hill, when we took prayer out of school. Amen?
Exactly.
Amen. Because let me say this. With that prayer that the teacher would sit up there and she would say, you know, it set the tone for the day for the education. It did. When you bring Yeshua
in our assembly,
to the classroom, we need to get back to that. I'm telling you, a God-fearing country is a good country. We're not God-fearing
anymore. That's why America's going down. America, United Kingdom is going down. Europe is going down because they're taking Jesus out of it.
We're not God-fearing anymore.
People are taking God out of it.
And then that has transpired into taking the family out of the family unit. And so now you've got all of these kids going to school, and they're basically discussing about, you know, race theory and gender changing. And where is this coming from all of a sudden? It's like it's a cancer growing. It's crazy. Crazy.
They fear devil more than they fear God.
Oh, man. Amen, amen,
that's
amen.
That's what's been going on. And now, as a woman, me, at my age or anything, if I feared the devil, I would have been gone a long time ago. But I see it, God, mm-hmm. and I rebuke the evil. The amount of the demonic occult they were trying to throw at me, and they were doing for 7 years. This is not just for one day, one month, 2 months, 3 months. This is
seven
going on
years.
For 7 years.
Oh my God.
7 years.
7 years.
2017. 2017. Exactly. 2017.
You put a sugar tape against it. Nina, you had such endurance, such strength, mm-hmm. and it's all because mm-hmm. of Yeshua. I swear, and you had that strong faith, and I do believe this is what we need to realize, and this is why we're having, these discussions and have these lessons and reading from the scripture, is because we need to get back to that. We need to get back to realizing we can't do nothing without God.
No, we can't. We can't believe. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here.
Amen.
If the strength of if my faith in God was not here, I wouldn't be here.
Amen. And we are so glad you're here, Nina. I swear. I mean,
you are
a breath of fresh air. You are a dynamic individual. You have such a story to tell. You have such a message to give to these women and to these abused men and to these abused children. It's time that we open our eyes, stop shielding, stop thinking, oh, if I close my eyes, it'll go away. It won't be here in my back door. No, no.
Mm-hmm.
The time is now, present time. I'm sorry I'm on my soapbox, but I just, I have to preach this. We've got to take the stand. Yes. We've got to.
Exactly. People need to rise up. People need to rise up. I mean, I wrote to House of Parliament, Justice mm-hmm. Minister, and they always say, oh, this is a matter of the police, give it to the police. Now, I'm going around in a circle. Then I spoken to the lodge, UGL Lodge, it's a main lodge, Freemason Lodge, then Metropolitan Lodge, where all the police and all the politicians and everybody are, members are. I've spoken to him. I've spoken to them. I said, look, one of your members doing this, and I've sent them all the information, what they're doing. I said, is this the society that you're teaching your members? Are you teaching your members to steal from women? How are you teaching your members to go and kill and steal from a woman?
Yeah.
You're supposed to protect, you are men. You're supposed to protect women. Kill them and destroy them and steal from them.
Well, you know what, Nina, I'm going to say one other thing, and this is something that, again, Yeshua just gave me. He says, where one or two or three are gathered, there I shall be also. And so when we create this safety in numbers, if we create this advocacy group, look what the growth could be. We could stop this crime, not rely on government to do it. No. But when we get it as a group, then we can have a voice, maybe in our voting. And we look at the records of these individuals that are holding these seats in Congress and in Senate and also in your parliament. And we simply say, just what have you done? Where is your faith? Where is your loyalty? Is it toward the citizenry or are you just waiting for a back pocket payment? That's what we need to focus on.
Yes, sir.
They're the biggest money laundering crooks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, with that said, I want to prepare to close out this podcast. Remember, we're gonna have a part two because we were just getting started, ladies and gentlemen. We got so much more to discuss with Dr. Nina Ritchie. But I want to say this in with our title: Why Are We Here? How Did We Get Here? And 30 Pieces of Silver. We are here on this earth to love one another and spread peace and compassion
mm-hmm.
to each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just a few points I want to make regarding the scriptures that were read today. At the core of Judas's story was greed. And
mm-hmm.
He was willing to give away anything to get what he wanted
mm-hmm.
and traded Jesus for 30 pieces of silver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was just about to say, Brother Thomas. Understand that Judas did not just sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He sold his soul.
Yeah.
And so those of you that are partaking in this these heinous crimes, and you're getting a little change in your pocket, understand that this is your test on this earth, and
yeah.
you're selling your soul for less than a happy meal, in the words of our brother, Kanye West, who's often criticized on social media. But it is the truth, it is the fact, whatever you're pocketing, you will see at the end of the road, it would not be worth the soul
no.
that you're selling, and you're failing
yeah.
the test
yeah.
of life.
Yeah.
And as for Job, you know, who was blameless and upright and feared God and shunned evil, you know, Job was faced with a lot of appalling losses of possessions,
mm-hmm.
his family,
mm-hmm.
his wealth,
mm-hmm.
And yet he still refused to curse God, which
yeah.
Many of us
yeah.
are currently walking through our Job season and dealing with this isolation and
Amen.
And just loss after loss after loss. And
never,
I want to encourage
ending.
You.
Yes, never ending. Uh-huh. Yes.
I want to encourage all of you, and you know, we all just can't imagine the levels of corruption and organized crime stemming
mm-hmm.
out of these secret societies, attacking
mm-hmm.
women and children, and causing unnecessary loss after loss after loss. But I want to remind you that the story of Job reminds us to be patient, because
yes.
our Father sees all and knows all, and He's calling for us to be patient. For this judgment call. The tribulations of Job teaches us that people must trust in God, even
mm-hmm.
in the face of adversity.
Because
yeah. everything happens for a purpose, a greater purpose, God's purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I just want to say, Sister Nina, clearly they underestimated you. And how
yeah.
remarkable
yeah.
you are with keeping your receipt, and how vocal and articulate you are in stating what you experienced. And not only is it an honor for me to have you on my podcast, but you served as an inspiration to me, Brother Thomas, and many other people that are locked up or feeling binded in some way because
yeah.
of these injustices, and needed to
yeah.
hear from someone who was courageous enough to speak out and speak up.
Yeah.
And we can't thank you enough for your courage, your fortitude, and just your unwavering faith. We can hear it and feel it in you, sister.
For passion.
That,
for passion.
You're not,
oh, my God.
You're not backing down. You're doubling down. On your faith in Yeshua to carry you through this. And I believe that whatever case you have coming up, justice will prevail because the time is up. The righteous is calling on judgment. We're speaking out. We're speaking up. We're providing platforms. We're being bold. We're being brazen. It's time.
Yes.
It's finished.
Yes. Amen.
And,
woo. Yes. Uh-oh.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you so much. It's such an honor. It's such an honor to do this interview and to highlight the problem and give me a platform to Brother Mr. Thomas and you.
You're welcome.
As well.
You're welcome.
It's an amazing platform that you both have.
Well, Nina,
and
I'll say
you
this,
do well
you
and
deserve,
you will do justice.
You don't deserve any less, hon. You don't deserve any less. You deserve what you've gone through in 7 years worth. My God. I'm just saying, you know, some people would have folded in half that time, but you prevailed. And so, yes, you deserve this voice. You deserve this platform.
Yes.
You deserve, people
yes.
need to hear you. You have a story to tell. And so many other people have stories to tell. But the encouragement needs to be they need to tell it. They need to tell
more
it.
And more, yeah, more and more people, exactly. More and more people, more and more women need to come forth. They don't
yeah.
need to be scared of Freemasons. Freemasons are
yeah.
not powerful.
No.
The power is the God, Yeshua, my mighty Lord Yahweh is the one who's a powerful. Now, I am your testament, women out there, and the children out there, and the youth out there, and men. I am your testament. I'm living testament, and
Amen.
Father wants me to give this word to you, all the viewers and everybody else. Do not give up. Every time you have a hurdle, pick up that, if they throw stone, pick it up and build your foundation with that stone. Build your foundation so strong, the next time when you come up and when you're on the top, that foundation will not rattle, because God is within that foundation. He's the one who helps you build it.
Yes. Amen. Oh, excellent.
Amen.
Hey, Jewel, now, you know, you're trying to wrap things up, but are we going to bring up about the comments from the previous, you know, podcast?
Oh,
you know?
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
let me run through that
we
quickly because
we've gone
a little overtime
deliver.
Here. So I will deliver. We had some very interesting comments from the last podcast and some excellent feedback. So I'm going to share that with you guys fairly quickly.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Jill, while you're looking for it, I want to say this. For anybody who's listened to our podcast today, and basically you have any comments or you have any questions, feel free to let us know. And we will address those in our next session, because I think this is important. You know, yes, we present things to you, but y'all people out there, you're the lives. You live it every day. So if you have comments or questions, we need to include you in our group. You know, you may be a silent voice, but you're still a powerful voice. You know what I'm getting at? So when you put your question out there and your statements out there, it is amazing, because when you're putting that out there and then we read them to the public again in the next session, somebody else is saying, my God, they listened to me. They read my comment. I have a voice.
Yeah.
I have words. This is what's important. God, Yeshua wants us to know. We have a worth. We have value. We are not valueless. We are not worthless. We are loved by God. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Let me start with a comment from Ms. Luckett. Oh, my goodness. Great first podcast. Make sure you share this link everywhere and with everyone. We have another comment by Mr. Nesbitt. Jewel, I enjoyed your podcast, and I would love an opportunity to be on to talk about Jesus and the love he has for all of us, Jewel. And let's see who else. We have a comment from Mr. Taylor. I think it's great, Jewel. Keep up the good work. God's blessings. We have another, this was an interesting comment. I'm going to leave this individual as anonymous because I don't want them attacked. But they said, good for you. Curious as to why the lights are off in your videos and why only one male guest.
You answered that call. You answered that call today.
I answered that individual personally. Quick backstory, I sent out a video promotion asking people to watch our podcast, and I was actually seated in my vehicle, and my light was on dim. And one of the reasons is, those of you that know me know I have three children, I didn't want you guys distracted by any Legos or cars left behind in my vehicle, so I wanted to focus on just me. And so that individual asked that, and I answered. And then, why only male guests? I'm not catering to only males. As you guys see today, we had our first female guest, ladies and gentlemen. So I open to males and females. So again, thank you all.
Yes.
Thank you all for your comments and your feedback. I want to encourage you guys to donate to our ministry if you can. Please continue to support fundraisingcup.org.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank both of our lovely guests, our first male and first female, Mr. Thomas Lillard and Dr. Nina Ritchie. Please give us feedback on our next podcast and contact me. I forgot to add this to our last podcast. Really quickly, Please don't forget to contact me to book your next travel. Guys, you know that's what I do, so I got to promote myself a little bit in these podcasts.
A little ad spot there. That's good. That's good.
I put some little advertisement in there, okay? Because that's what I do, and you know I got you, ladies and gentlemen. So, again, thank you all, and I hope you all have a great week. Take care.
Wow, fantastic. Excellent. Yes, yes. Thank you again.
Thanks.